Don't you know that a lot of times we have a tendency to want to take credit for something that really isn't credit due? Like Philip saying, "We found Messiah Jesus," when in fact John's gospel says that Jesus decided to go to Galilee and Jesus found Philip. But sometimes, don't you know, we get it mixed up, don't we? All of our lessons for tonight speak about, don't you know? Don't you know that you can't believe everything that you read or hear? Like what I read yesterday about a little boy named Alex Malarkey, who when he was 6 years old in 2004, he and his father were in a car accident, hit head on. The dad was thrown from the vehicle, had little or no injuries, but the son, he's still a quadriplegic to this day. 2 months in a coma, in a vegetative state, and the doctor said he'll never make it. But able to communicate now. 2 months after the accident, he's telling his dad what had happened, what he saw at the accident scene as his dad lay unconscious after he'd been thrown. He talked about how he was taken with the angels to heaven and how he got to spend time talking to Jesus. So in 2010, Alex and his dad, primarily his dad, wrote the book. He came, the boy who came back from heaven. A lot of people have bought it. A lot of people have read the book. Well, now Alex is 16 years old. And this past week, the headlines was, boy retracts, takes back what he said. His mother knew that the father was the one kind of pushing this, and lots of people have made profits off of this book that had no truth to it at all. Alex wrote this past week, even as a quadriplegic, as he's communicating, he said, "I made it up because I wanted to have people give me attention." Alex Malarkey. You know what that's about, right? When people say that's a bunch of malarkey, it's nonsense. It doesn't add up. What would we expect from a story such as this? Well, we had expected, don't you know, that if it's in the book, it's got to be true. Who would make this up? My wife, don't you know, she told me last night, she said, "Did you hear about this?" And at first she thought it was about the book about heaven is for real. And so I went on the internet and stuff. I thought, I got to check this out. Because sometimes we want to know, or sometimes we assume we know more than we do in fact know. That's what was happening in Corinth. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, repeatedly throughout his letter, he'll say, "Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? It should be so obvious. Of course you should know." And he's being a little sarcastic, because there were some of these higher knowledge people at Corinth who really had this self-perception that they were know-it-alls, that they couldn't learn anything, that they couldn't be taught anything because they already knew everything. And so Paul repeatedly in 1 Corinthians 6 and in our second lesson for tonight will say, "Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know?" And he'll say in 1 Corinthians, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Don't you know? I mean, if you want to read 1 Corinthians sometime, just think about that phrase, "Don't you know?" And then pay attention to all the things that Paul is trying to teach us. The essentials, the basics of our faith that we ought to know. But for some reason, either don't know, or have forgotten, or have misconstrued. Don't you know that it's dangerous to assume? Because you can make a donkey out of yourself or someone else. Don't you know that little ears hear and remember everything? Don't you know that it's dangerous to talk behind somebody's back? Because the person you're talking about might be standing behind your back. Don't you know? That's what Paul's talking about. That's what all of our lessons are addressing tonight. Things that we ought to absolutely know. And sometimes we think we know more than we do. And Jesus will say to his disciples, the important thing is not how much you know, not even who you know, but to be known by God. Let's walk through our lessons for tonight. Psalm 139 is one of my favorites. Don't you know? You have searched me and known me, O Lord. Don't you know that God knows you inside and out? Or as one of the guys said at our Bible study breakfast this past week, this psalm is fantastic. My wife wrote it in her Bible. This psalm is fantastic, don't you know? Because there's no rock big enough that you can find to hide under. You cannot, don't you know, escape God. God is in the omni-world, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present, all-powerful. God is. And you can't hide. And the psalmist will say, don't you know that even before a thought comes into your head, God already knows what it is? And don't you know that even before a word comes on your tongue, God already knows what you're going to speak? And don't you know, Psalm 139, that you may have been an accident, unplanned to your mom and dad, but that you were a planned conception to God, every hair on your head is numbered, and every day of your life has already been recorded in God's book. Don't you know? You see, there are things we can know if we have someone or something to direct us. That's what I was trying to illustrate tonight in the children's sermon. That we can claim that we found it, as though somehow Jesus is an it and he's lost, but the real discovery is something that we kind of land on only when we obey and pay attention to the directions that have been given to us, the words, the word of God that is given to us. Don't you know? I mean, you can't help but smile or laugh when you read the story of Samuel. This past week, I read chapters 1, 2, and 3 again because you want to breathe the whole narrative. I mean, there's a lot of mystery in that story. Like, don't you know that Elkanah, the husband of Hannah, had two wives? And Penina had children and Hannah was barren? And that Elkanah said, you're worth more to me than 10 sons, don't you know? And she's downcast and weeping. And she goes up, and Eli the priest, there at the house of the Lord in Shiloh, thinks that she's drunk. And she says, don't you know I'm pouring my heart out to God? I'm praying. And she says to the Lord, a vow. If you give me a son, Lord, then from the womb he'll be consecrated to you. For his whole life will be lent to the Lord. And Eli blesses her and says, may the Lord answer your prayers. And the Lord, who has closed her womb, opens her womb, and she conceives, and they have a son, Samuel. Now, in the midst of this story about Samuel and Hannah, you get the story of Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who are scoundrels, who are supposed to be ministering in the house of the Lord and caring for the sacrifices that people bring. And instead, they're ripping off the choice meat and they're sleeping with the young girls that are serving in the Lord's house. And in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, Eli goes to his sons and says, boys, we've got to have a talk. This isn't good what you're doing. So he talked about it, but he didn't put a stop to it. And so even though the word of the Lord was rare in those days, visions were hardly ever seen, a prophet comes with a word of the Lord to Eli and says, the days of your house are numbered because the Lord is going to punish your sons because their sin has not received atonement. They have utterly profaned the Lord. That brings us to our first lesson for tonight, chapter 3. Samuel has already been given to the Lord, and he's been ministering. His mom goes up there every year to bring him a new cloak, some new clothing, if you will. And he's laying down, it's bedtime, and Eli's laying down, and we find out that Eli's sight has grown dim. He's not seeing so well. And of course, in the story, we know that he's also not hearing so well. Because we could say, don't you know, Eli, who it is that's calling? I mean, talk about persistence and patience, huh? The Lord calls Samuel, and Samuel goes running to Eli, I'm here, what do you need? I didn't call you, go back to bed. Second time, a third time. It takes three times before Eli is able to know that it's God calling. And then he goes back, and he says, you go lay down, and the next time you hear the voice, you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And what ends up happening, as you continue to read the rest of chapter 3, is that the Lord tells Samuel that he is going to prosper and be a faithful servant of the Lord, but that the house of Eli is going to be destroyed, and that Phinehas and Hophni, the two sons of Eli, are going to die on the same day. And then we're told that when Samuel woke up, he was afraid to tell the word of the Lord to Eli. Don't you know? That's part of the problem, isn't it? That we might get a word from the Lord, but that fear will keep us from speaking it. And Eli looks at Samuel and says, you give it to me straight. Don't sugarcoat it. Because if you don't tell me what the Lord has told you, may the harm, the judgment that he has spoken, fall upon you as well. And so Samuel tells him exactly what the Lord has said. Not good news for Eli and his household. And at the end of chapter 3, Eli looks at Samuel and says, it is the Lord. Let it be to him as he wills. It's the Lord. Don't you know? It's his will that will be done. And when we receive a call, a word from the Lord, it is our job, like the found who go out and find, to speak that word and not to sugarcoat it so that the one who hears will like us. Don't you know that throughout Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he kept saying, don't you know, to the know-it-alls? And that in our second reading for tonight, he talks about sexual immorality. But right before it, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, Paul will say, don't you know that the saints, the children of God, Christians, are going to judge angels and the world? So why are you parading your lawsuits and litigation publicly in the marketplace with civil courts? It's embarrassing. Christians suing Christians. That's what Paul says. Don't you know? And then he has a vice list, and in the vice list, he'll say, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists a whole bunch of things. And sometimes people want to focus just on the homosexuality and the sodomites, etc. But he talks about other sins there too. People that habitually will lie or cheat and deceive. The fornicators, all kinds of other people that are just as guilty. And then Paul will say, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know you're a new creation? The old has passed away and all things are new. Don't you know that you're resurrection people, crucified, buried alive with Jesus? Throughout Corinthians, Paul will say, don't you know? Your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and when someone joins themselves with sexual immorality, they're making a prostitute out of Jesus, don't you know? Your body is to glorify God. And then our gospel for tonight. You see how it all ties together with knowledge and what we should know or don't know or what we assume we know? In the gospel reading, it's the fourth day. The first day, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. The second day, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The third day, he says it again. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And two of his disciples start to follow Jesus. And then we're on day four. And Jesus decides to go to Galilee. And Jesus finds Philip. And Philip goes and gets Nathanael. And he says, we've found the one that the law and the prophets wrote about. We found Jesus of Nazareth. We found the Messiah. And Nathanael, a skeptic, kind of like Thomas later in the gospel, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And did you see what the found one does? He says, why don't you come and see? The Greek is, come and you will see. The invitation is filled with promise. And when he comes and he sees Jesus, Jesus says, you were studying Torah under the fig tree. I saw you. And all of a sudden, Nathanael says, wow, Messiah, you know, the King of the Jews, you know, the King of Israel. I mean, this has got to be the one we've been waiting for. And then did you hear what he had said? I mean, you get Nathanael saying, how is it that you know me? And then you get Jesus saying, you're impressed with this? Don't you know that you haven't seen anything yet? And our gospel reading, it ends with the story of Jacob. Remember when he was running away because of the thievery of stealing the birthright and the blessing of his brother Esau? And he's in Bethel, and he's sleeping with his head on a rock, and then he has this dream, this vision, where the angels of God are coming up and down. And so Jesus looks at Philip and Nathanael, and the word is you plural. Not you singular, Nathanael, but you all. So he's speaking to us. Don't you all know that you're going to see greater things than this? You're going to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus. Jesus, the bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus, the incarnation. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The one that reconciles us, don't you know, with the Father. The Lamb of God who takes away your sins and my sins. Don't you know? All of our lessons for tonight are inviting us to know and be known. To know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you know that God's word, Jesus, is irrevocable? That's what Paul will say. The gift and the call of God are irrevocable. Don't you know what Jesus has done for you? Knowledge puffs up, but love always builds up. Do you ever see the movie Forrest Gump? Years ago, when my daughter was still probably in high school at the time, I said to her once, I said, you know what I like in that movie? I like it when Forrest looks at Jenny and he says, I love you. And then Jenny says, "You don't even know what love is, Forrest." And Forrest looks at Jenny and says, "Jenny, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. I told that to my daughter Rachel years ago. Rachel, I'm not a smart man, but in Jesus Christ, I know what love is. And in Christ Jesus, don't you know? You know too." Amen.